Hi everyone, you're here with Alexander Defoe on this week's episode of Awaken Your Higher Mind. And today I'll be speaking about manifestation with Tom Morasso, author of Born to Manifest. Tom is also a self-empowerment author, trainer, and certified hypnotherapist. Tom, could you tell listeners a bit about yourself and what led you to write about the subject of manifestation?
Well, first of all, Alexander, thank you so much for having me on your show today. It's a real honor to be connecting with you. My journey kind of started when I was a very young age. I started questioning, who we are and why we're here, and that led me to research a lot of different books and modalities and things like that. And I'd say the first thing I got interested in was astrology and kind of just like to kind of figure out why I felt so different from everybody. And after I had my fill of that and learned how to do charts and all sorts of stuff, it's almost like the universe drops things in your lap. And I remember staying at a friend's house, and there was this book over on the nightstand, and it was called Edgar Cayce on Reincarnation. And so I read that book, and I'd never really heard much about reincarnation. And I don't know, it just kind of resonated with me. It made so much sense. And so I devoured all of Edgar Cayce's stuff. He was, a psychic that was lived in the early part of the century. And yes. He was known for his healing readings, but he also did these what were called life readings, and he would talk about places like Atlantis and Lemuria, and all of a sudden my world started to really expand, and so I was bitten. I just devoured everything I could on all sorts of metaphysical subjects and esoterica and things like that. And early on, I was exposed to what they called New Thought. And this was a lot of authors in the early part of the 20th century. And they talked, along with Edgar Cayce, that thoughts were things, and that what you focus on usually shows up in your life. And, I didn't put two and two together way back then. I was still young kid, and but I would kind of play around with it, thinking, hey, you always get your wish, and so if somebody was scared of a bug, I'd always kid them. I'd say, hey, you keep thinking about that bug, it's sure enough going to show up, and little things like that, and it would show up. And so that was about as much as I really consciously studied manifestation back then. But it always stuck in my head, thoughts are things, and what you focus on expands, and things like that. And I later got into studying the mind, the power of the mind, and it which led me to hypnosis, and I became a hypnotherapist. And that excited me because I was able to do past life and future life readings for people. And so I was really exploring a lot of different avenues. And I think it all kind of came together for me when I saw that movie that came out of Australia called The Secret. And I said, all right, she's kind of laying it out there for the mainstream to pick up on. However, she's not giving a lot of detail about it. And so that led me to write the book Born to Manifest. It's kind of like a guidebook or a manual to conscious creation.
Right. So using manifestation, on a personal level, what types of things have you like been able to manifest into your own life?
You know, the more that you work with this and deliberately create what you want, more and more things show up and you notice. I mean, we're always manifesting, and up until you really consciously start to manifest, you're unconsciously manifesting. Or, you know, it's just that your thoughts are more geared to things you don't want, and those things show up in your life. So the more that you really focus on what you do want in your life, the first things that start coming your way is kind of like evidence that those things are in your vicinity, let's say, or in your aura. They show up. You notice them. But I say that the most important thing that I've been able to manifest, I mean, I've got all the little stuff and all the big stuff and all of that, but the most important was happiness and peace of mind and joy. You know, because the other stuff is just things, really. But happiness, you just can't put a price tag on.
And it sounds like you can manifest both material and non-material things. I'm just wondering, in terms of, you know, just your thoughts, and if I'm constantly thinking I don't want something, like I'm thinking I don't want a speeding fine, for example, then that would in reality mean I'm still kind of manifesting that, even though I don't want that. How does this actually work? Like, what are the mechanics of it?
Well, the mechanics of it are... we live in a vibrational universe, and like vibrations are attracted. So whatever you're putting your thoughts and your attention to and you're focused on is what you're vibrating. The mind is an amazing thing. It's really a transmitter and receiver, and Albert Einstein and Thomas Edison, they proved this way back when, that the mind actually sends and receives energy signals or energy frequencies. So when you're thinking about what you don't want, you're sending out a signal of whatever it is you don't want. So those things are going to manifest in your life. Here again, it's you always get your wish. Even if your wish is something like, I wish I didn't have so many bills. Because the universe doesn't really pay attention to the do want and don't want. All it hears is many bills, right?
Yep.
So you keep sending out that signal. Oh, I don't want a speeding ticket. I hope I don't get a speeding ticket. Geez, I know I heard that there was a bunch of cops out today, and geez, this is really a bad road. They've got all sorts of speed traps, and you're focused on all of this weirdness, you know, and you keep sending out those kind of signals, and it's almost like you're this giant beacon that's, you know, beep, 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 and the cop picks it up, and the radar trap picks it up, and first thing you're going to see is other cars getting tickets, all sorts of things like that, and it's just you are a vibrational match to what you don't want. So that's how it works. So here again, when I was explaining earlier on, most people are focused on what they don't want in all areas of their life. And it's kind of like we're brought up that way. Rather than to have our primary focus on the things that we want and what we want to do in life, most people have that flipped around where they're saying, well, gee, I don't want a bad relationship. I don't want to get cancer. I don't want to have so many bills. I don't want a lousy job, right? Mm-hmm.
So, Tom, would you say everything has its own vibration?
Yes, absolutely. And at its most minute particle, everything is energy. You and me, the table, the computer, the tree, the rock, it's all energy vibrating at different frequencies.
Right. And so really the key is to maintain the vibration you want to attract a similar right. vibration of things around you.
Right.
Yep. That's interesting. Tom, could you talk a bit about why it's important to really feel strongly what it is you want to manifest rather than just kind of visualizing in your head what you want?
Right. A lot of people ask me that, Alexander, and what I've come to believe is that the universe, like I said, doesn't hear the words. Mm-hmm. The language of the universe is the feelings, the emotions. It's like the fuel that generates the words or generates the thoughts. It's you feel a certain way, and that's like the energy in motion or in emotion that makes you think a certain thought or causes you to think a certain thought. Kind of like on autopilot. Whereas the more you work with conscious creation, those feelings you could use in a more beneficial way. And by that I mean, let me clear my throat a second. By that I mean, let's say you have a feeling that about finances, where you're just thinking, well, I really feel bad because I'm not sure I can cover the bills this month. I had this emergency came up, and I had to, you know, fix the car or whatever it was, and I'm kind of fearful. I'm not going to have enough money to pay those bills, right? Yeah. So that just feels bad, and you're focused on that feeling, and it causes you to think those kind of thoughts. However, once you really start to work with this and you see how things do manifest by what you think and the feelings that you give out, you can use those so-called negative feelings. And the reason I say it like that is because positive and negative is kind of like these buzzwords that you know, people say, oh, that's positive, that's negative, whatever. It's just somebody's opinion, right? The feeling's a feeling's a feeling, right? So, and I'll give you an example of that in a sec. But anyway, you use that feeling to understand what belief you're holding that is causing you to have that feeling. Because the beliefs that you hold, the expectations that you hold, are like software programs running in your mind, your computer mind, right? And reality is really just a reflection of those beliefs and expectations that you have. So when you have a bad feeling about money, it's usually pointing to a belief system that was downloaded early on in your life. Maybe by your parents, maybe by the TV, maybe by your friends, maybe by an experience you had, maybe by your church or the government or whatever. But it's almost like a software program of a limiting belief you have about money. And it could be something like, you know, money is evil, or money doesn't grow on trees, or you have to really work hard. You know, there's only so much money to go around, and all of these things swimming in your head causes you to have that bad feeling that I feel bad about this, rather than really understanding that you and I and everybody is just energy vibrating at different frequencies. And the truth, the ultimate truth is, you know, we are children of the universe and we can create, and the universe is abundance. And that's our birthright, to be abundant.
Right.
The trees are abundant, the oceans are abundant, everything is abundant. So anyway, let me give you an example of that positive, sure, negative, just for fun, because getting back to driving around, so you're driving in the car and you get a flat tire and you go, oh boy, that's bad. This is going to really screw up my day now. I'm going to have to go to the tire store and get a new tire, get it plugged, I hope. But if I had to get a tire, and all right, you can see how the guy's going, hey, this is really negative, right?
Yeah.
He drives up to the tire store, and the tire guy, he's going, yahoo, all right, another customer, more money in the cash register. You see how he looks at the same thing as a positive? Okay, so it's just a personal thing, positive, negative, good, bad.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. I guess it depends on the person that's experiencing it.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, do you reckon that beliefs and really working on your beliefs is the key to successfully manifesting things?
I really do. You know, the more that I really work with this and work with clients, I've come to believe, okay, and there's that word again, that we really have a lot of programming to overcome, be it with finances or relationships or health or whatever, because those beliefs, like I say, will help us, I don't want to use the word cause, but will help us think a certain way and send out those kind of thoughts. Right. And for example, you must know somebody that's always catches the latest cold or the latest flu or the latest disease. And here again, you know, our natural state is abundance and happiness and perfect health. And yet there's people that, you know, they watch television and they see some kind of a ad for a pharmaceutical drug and they go, you know what? I feel like that. I got those feelings. You know, and they start, they're not even thinking their own thoughts at that point. They are absorbing or downloading the belief systems of that pharmaceutical company, what they want you to believe. So people may have limiting beliefs about relationships, something like, oh, gee, everybody in my family and my family's gotten divorced, you know. Look at the statistics out there. 50-60% of all marriages end in divorce. Why should I be any different? Is almost, you know, what's the song playing in their head.
Right.
So those belief systems do cause us to think a certain way and to focus a certain way and feel a certain way, and consequently our reality is going to reflect that, because it, the outer world is just a reflection of what's going on inside of us.
Yeah. So, this, like what we've talked about so far, is really like an automatic type of manifestation based on the beliefs our life kind of unfolds.
Right.
You know, what about like conscious manifestation, when someone sits down and says they want to manifest something, is that actually possible, or is it only possible by changing beliefs?
Well, sure. It is very possible. I'm living proof of it. My clients are living proof of it. There's lots of people that are living proof of it. I mean, everyone is living proof of manifesting reality because of the thoughts and beliefs and feelings and expectations that they have. So we do want to, learn how to deliberately manifest our reality, to become conscious creators. And that starts as easy as removing some words from your vocabulary. One being the word no, N-O, another being don't, D-O-N apostrophe T. Those kind of words, they point to what we don't want or what we can't have.
Yeah.
So when you catch yourself just talking, your own self-talk, or when you're talking to your friends and family, when you find yourself saying things like, oh, gee, I don't want that to happen, or I don't want this to happen, or I hope this doesn't happen, or no, don't do that, those kind of self-talk or talk with your family and friends, you really want to stop yourself and flip that around somehow, whatever way you can do it. I've got exercises in the book and worksheets and stuff. But yeah. Basically what you want to do is, if you say, hey, I don't want to have a bad relationship, you ask yourself, well, what do you want? Well, I want a good relationship. I don't want somebody that says they'll be there at a certain time and they show up late. Well, what do you want? I want somebody that's respectful of my time and they show up when they say they will. So the more things in your life that you can catch yourself, whenever you're focused on what you don't want, right in that moment, stop and ask yourself, hey, what do I want? And start changing your vibration that way. Because when you start thinking differently and start focusing on what you'd rather have, then you send out that kind of a vibration, and that's what you attract. Because if you keep sending out the, I don't want this, I don't want this, that's what's showing up. So start there. That's an easy place to start, just in your own self-talk. And I'm sure the listeners, if they just start doing that, after the show's over, if they just start doing that, just focus on what you want. Like maybe something on TV. Rather than saying, I don't want to watch that show, don't even go there. Just say, I want to watch this.
Yep, I think that's great advice. So is this actually what you call allowing statements in your book?
Allowing statements are more of a way to get out of the way. This the basic, some law of attraction trainers will say that there's 3 steps, 5 steps, 7 steps, whatever. I basically just say, there's 3 steps. Your first step is, figure out what you want. And you can use what you don't want to figure out what you do want. Okay, but so use that contrast. Hey, I don't want this. This is what I want, okay? And that's your first thing. So that's your intention. That's what you're focused on. That's what you send out there. And that's really the second step. You start to feel good about that, because it's almost like you can picture it and you want to walk that way. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does it sound like, What are those senses going to feel like, what are those senses going to be when you manifest what you want? So that's the second part. That's the feeling part and the focus part and the sending out the vibration consistently and the feeling, and you know, it's almost like this burning desire you have. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the third part is to get out of the way and let it happen. Okay? And this is where a lot of people get hung up, because the allowing part is really the most difficult. And here again, because of our beliefs, again, because of how we're brought up, again, because, you know, we listen to other people rather than listen to our heart, you know. And so we stand in the way because we want something, we desire something, we got that burning desire for it. We send out that intention and we focus on it, it feels good, and we can visualize it and, you know, hear it and taste it and everything. And then we go, where is it? How come it's taking so long? You know, I thought it'd be here by now. Well, maybe I don't deserve it. You know, money's pretty hard to come by, and you see how it just kind of flipped around from being so powerful, this intention with so much energy behind it, to becoming this wimpy, ugly, funky, nothing vibration that you're now sending, right? Because you're still sending out the vibration. Now it is, where is it? You know, it's not here. How come? And all of a sudden, you're canceling out the whole thing, because now you're sending out a contradictory vibration. So the allowing part is to get out of the way. Know it's coming. All right, and here's where you really have to have some faith. Here's where you really have to do the steps in the book, and like take baby steps. There's a joke here in America. How do you get to Carnegie Hall, which is a big concert hall in New York City? And the joke is you practice. So it's the same thing with this. You practice. You know, start out small. Don't go for the $1 million right off the bat. You know, just go for a dollar or some coins or something. Or,
right.
But the point is, whatever your intention is, just send it out there and let it go. Know that it's coming. I don't know when it's going to come, but I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you can get into that space and that feeling, the faster it will come. Because you're not putting up anything in the way. You're not putting up any barriers by any, you know, contradictory thinking.
Are there any other factors that affect how quickly you manifest something? For example, like how big the thing is that you're trying to manifest?
I don't really think so, Alexander. I think the biggest thing that gets in the way is just us and the way that we think and believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus Christ walked on water. Why? Because he believed he could do it. You know? And I forget what disciple came out after him and was walking on water, and then he looked down and said, and went, whoops, I can't do this. And he sunk. You know?
Yeah.
So I think anything's possible, but, I don't think I'll be walking on water. I don't think I'll be flying. But as far as manifesting big things, it's just you standing in the way. Look at it this way. Let's say you want a Mercedes or something. Do you know anybody that's ever manifested a Mercedes? I mean, not necessarily friends or family, but do you know anybody? I mean, have you heard it on TV or in the newspaper, somebody that's manifested a Mercedes?
It's hard to say. I know when you don't know the background of their life and whether they've just gone and manifested it or I don't know.
Okay. Well, maybe that was the wrong way to put it. Do you know anybody has a Mercedes? That has got a Mercedes?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So whatever way they manifested it, maybe they manifested the money to buy it. Maybe they just manifested the car. Maybe they manifested the grandfather that died and left the money to buy the car. Maybe they manifested the neighbor that decided to give them the car. Whatever it is, they manifested it somehow, okay? But the point I was trying to make is, to a lot of people, a Mercedes is a big deal. I mean, it's an expensive car, $80,000, and na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would go, gee, that's out of my reach. That's a big deal. That's a big thing. But, you know, think about it. Hey, another child of the universe manifested it. Why can't you? It's not like it's impossible. So how fast does it show up? Here again, how much in the way are you? You know?
Hmm.
When do you get to the point where you realize that the true self, the true self that you are, is a child of the universe that is born to manifest, that is their birthright is to create what they want, to live in joy, to live in happiness, and to live in abundance. That's where we got to get in our thoughts and feelings. Then whatever you need, whatever you want, comes to you because you're not standing in the way at all.
Right. So it's really about letting go of all of that programming and beliefs that hold you back.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something about that. You know, some people, they get very specific about manifestation. I've certainly had friends that have been like overly specific, in my opinion, when they've talked about manifesting a relationship, for example. They sit down and write pages and pages about the characteristics of this person, what they're going to look like, what job they're going to have, and so forth. Do you think that this is kind of overdoing it?
In some cases, yes. I mean, you can send out an intention a few different ways. One being, you just send it out, hey, I want a great relationship. Okay? Mm-hmm. And if that's feeling good, and then maybe you add some details. And, you know, she's got dark hair. And that still feels good and believable, right? And she's very intelligent, and that still feels good and it's believable, right? But she's got to be a television personality. Now it's starting to feel a little weird, isn't it? Because, you know, now you're kind of going, wait, I mean, is that really that important? I mean, it may be for some people, but... So you can be real detail oriented if you want, and I personally believe that the less details you throw in there, the more happy you'll be, because the universe is a lot smarter than we are, and will deliver to us either a relationship or a job or a car or whatever it is. That's even better than we could imagine if we don't put too many restrictions on it. And the other intention that's really great to have is just that, you know, I want to feel good. I want to feel good every moment, right? And if you can get that intention and get to that point where you're manifesting, where you're feeling good, why are you feeling good? Well, you got a great car to drive, you got a great house, you got a great job, you got a great relationship, you got great health, because you started off feeling good, which is the ultimate thing, you know? All the other things are really immaterial to really feeling good and happiness.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have to be specific, though, when you want to manifest those things, or do they come on their own?
I think it's a personal thing. As long as you keep feeling good as you're sending out your intentions and your details, I think you're okay. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, we started off with, I want the nice relationship, and I want her to have dark hair, and I want her to be pretty, and I want her to be intelligent, and I want her to be funny. You know, those are things that can still fit into your belief system pretty good, right? And then let the universe surprise you. You know, yeah. you might be, here's an example. You maybe you're working at this place and there's a girl that's working in the other department, and you're attracted to her, and you think, wow, she's really great, and boy, I want to marry that girl. And all you can think about is, you know, you got that intention, and you're so focused on that, and there may be a girl in the next floor or down the hall that's like 100 times better, okay? So if you really maybe don't put too many details on it, don't be so specific, just put enough to where you just really feel good about your intention and let the universe take care of the rest. Because the universe, that's really where all the action's taking place. The universe is where everything's got to line up with divine timing, and this has got to move this way, and this has got to move this way for your intention to manifest, right? So it's something called divine timing. So when you say, how long is this going to take? You're basically you're kind of looking at this little space around you, because you're looking at, you know, what's going on in your life, and you're going, well, it's not here. You know, you're just kind of looking in this little space, almost like you cupped your hands together, and you're looking in there, and you go, well, gee, there's the job, there's the car, there's the relationship, you know, and you're focused on, well, geez, nothing, you know, it's like all this stuff that really not too great, happy about. And maybe right outside your front door is what you want. But you don't see it because you're focused on what's happening now. You know, you're too focused on what's happening now.
Yep, that makes sense. So Tom, I was just going to ask you, as your experience as a hypnotherapist, when you come across clients and people, do you find that some people can manifest things really easily into one area of their life, but other areas they tend to be kind of lacking?
Sure, and that's always pointing to they're not allowing that into their lives for some reason, and it's usually some kind of limiting beliefs that they have. Somebody may do great, they got a great relationship, but they can't stand their job, or they're always struggling from paycheck to paycheck. Or somebody may be, you know, filthy rich, but their health is just so bad. You know, they can't even enjoy all their money.
So does that come back to beliefs?
It comes back to beliefs, and you know, obviously, when we were talking about money, I wanted to bring up a point, and this is a good place mm-hmm. to kind of bring it up.
Yep.
Have you heard of Donald Trump in America?
Yeah.
Okay, he's kind of like the poster boy of billionaires, and Paris Hilton is like the poster girl, you know. It's like these people were raised with a belief system about money that they could have it all, right? In other words, they don't have the slightest thought that money's hard to come by, okay? It's just not in their head at all. There's no programming that money's hard to come by. So somebody like that usually, 9 times out of 10, is not going to have any problem generating a lot of money. However, when it comes to health, they might have a totally different belief system. They might have some kind of belief system that the earth is a very disease-ridden place. And, you know, I have to work in the big city and there's all sorts of people that are walking around coughing and sneezing, and I can catch all these germs, and I think this is what might have happened with Howard Hughes. Here's the guy that had no problem with money, but he sure did have a lot of problem with the health, right? Mm-hmm. So the belief system with the money was nice and crisp and clean, but with the health, he was sending out, here we go, the word, negative intentions, right?
Yeah. So do you find that a lot of the work you do involves really centering in on the particular beliefs that people have that are stopping them?
Yeah, but it even goes deeper than that, Alexander. A lot of times we'll find that the belief systems even stem from previous existences.
Okay.
You know, I don't think we want to go into that in this show, yep. But typically beliefs can be reprogrammed, because hypnosis is kind of like reprogramming. It's almost like replacing the software that's running in that human computer mind of ours. And, you know, you delete the old programming and you instill the new programming with positive suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how deep it is, you might have to go a few sessions and you may have to go into previous existences.
Right. What would you say to people from your experience in hypnotherapy about, you know, all of these things we get bombarded with all the time, like through TV, magazines, you know, just from friends kind of imposing their own beliefs and ideas all the time through even subliminals? How do you kind of protect yourself from taking those on?
That's a great question. And, you know, it really points to the meat and potatoes of this whole thing, because once you take responsibility for your life, and by that I mean take responsibility for what you are creating in your life and get out of victim mentality. So many people are victims because they don't have their own beliefs. They have limiting beliefs from the television, from the fashion magazines. You know, I'm supposed to look like this. I might have this disease because they just said it on TV, and I have that feeling now. And, you know, my coworkers at the office, we stand around the water cooler, and, you know, they're so negative about the job and the boss and you know. So it's like it's all this victim mentality, because rather than taking responsibility for your life, you're letting others control your life by feeding you belief systems. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you really have to reach the point where you really understand who you really are, for one, And by that I mean you're a focal point of source energy, having an experience as a human, right? And as I said, it was your birthright, or everyone's birthright, to experience joy and happiness and abundance, to really believe that with all of your heart, then your life really starts taking a turn, because you see that you can think back at your life and you think, well, such and such, they did this to me, or the government did this to me, or my religious upbringing did this to me. Mm-hmm. Well, you allowed it to do that to you. Okay? So you're not a victim. You know, you were really part of the creation of that because you allowed it. It's not like somebody twisted your arm and told you that money was evil, and it just became a truth for you. You know? Mm.
Well, a lot of these things we pick up during childhood too, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. And that's really where they come from more than anywhere, because, you know, when we're kids and we're just kind of like learning the planet, you know, learning how to talk, learning how to walk, you know, we look up at mom and dad as the authority figures, right? And they love us, and you know, we believe everything they say. And then we go to school, and then we believe everything the teacher says, you know, and if we have a religious upbringing, we believe everything the priest or the rabbi says. And then, you know, we get into the upper grades in school, and we believe that thing that you got to get a good job, and, I mean, you have to get a good education to get a good job, otherwise you're going to be on the street. And, you know, we're taught, hey, don't do what you really want to do, you know, do this instead, because you can't make any money, you know, whatever it is. All of those things are programmed, and until we can wake up and take responsibility for our lives, all of those belief systems will control us.
Right, that makes sense. Tom, we've just got over 5 minutes left. Would you like to spend that time maybe telling listeners a bit more about your book, Born to Manifest, and how it can help them on their path of manifesting the life they want?
Sure, Alexander. Like I said, I wrote that book because I felt there needed to be kind of like a guidebook or a how-to manual for learning how to consciously create, almost like practicing the piano or practicing the guitar. You got to start somewhere. And so it's written in a very simple way with some easy worksheets to get you going, to really start to take control of the way you think and the way you feel, and take control of your life. You know, start to become a deliberate creator, a conscious creator, consciously creating what you want. And I've got several other books on self-empowerment and all as well. And my newest book is called The Manuscript, Awakening into Oneness. And that really goes real deep, deep, deep into our journey here on Earth from the beginnings of Lemuria all the way through Atlantis, and the chaos and dysfunction of modern society, all the way through 2012, which is a big deal as far as everybody's concerned lately that I talk to, and beyond. And so it really goes deep, deep, deep into all of that, who we really are, and why we can create our reality and what our reality is and all of that. So that's a real, that's almost like the graduate course of Born to Manifest, It really kind of pieces everything together.
Right. Which book of yours would you recommend that people get, you know, if they haven't really read much, heard about The Secret or anything like that, just as a starting point?
Yeah, I'd say Born to Manifest.
Okay.
In fact, the whole title is Born to Manifest, Law of Attraction, Tools and Techniques. So it kind of says it all right there. It kind of gives you a little breakdown and a good way to get your feet wet.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Tom, before we finish up?
excuse me. The only thing I wanted to do was give out my website, borntomanifest.com. And you can look for me on YouTube. Just put my name in, Tom Morasso or T. Morasso, and you'll find me there. Look for me on Facebook or Twitter, all of that stuff. And thank you so much, Alexander. I really, like I say, I'm honored to be here. Thanks for asking me.
It was great to talk to you. All right. So thanks again, and just to listeners, I hope you got something out of this, and definitely check out Tom's website at borntomanifest.com. And with that in mind, we'll finish up.